In verse 7, and if you have your Bible and you're able to, let's all stand together, please, for the reading of God's word. No, not back on. Thank you for being patient, and thank you for just letting us have that time, and I appreciate that very, very much. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 7, Paul writing to a backslidden church and a recovering church, in verse 7, but we have this treasure, speaking of the gospel of Christ, and Jesus himself, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, speaking of our body, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are alway delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. What a great statement. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I call your attention back up to verse 16, and I'd like us to read it out loud together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, ready, begin. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I want to preach to you a message this morning I've entitled, Renewing My Life in Christ. And let's pray once again. Father in heaven, I do come before you, and I don't believe we can pray too much, God, especially in your service. And so, Lord, I believe our church needed to pray some more, and I know that I needed to pray some more. And Lord, I come before you now again, and I yield myself 100%, and I ask that you'd help me today to please you and to be a blessing. Would you help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain, Father, so that I could be filled with your Spirit and used for your glory? Would you please preach through me your message today for us, your people, that we may leave here different and changed and prepared for the days coming, should you tarry, and we have been given another day of life. We sure are thankful that we can come to you always. We're sure thankful that we have an avenue of prayer and that door is always open. You're always listening and hearing those that call upon you in truth. So we pray today that you would be magnified in our service. Please do that work of renewing that many of us are asking for. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you again for standing. You may be seated. At the beginning of a new year, millions of people will be turning over new leaves, starting new diet plans, and rearranging their lives in hopes of making some notable and profitable change that will benefit their well-being. I asked this to my Sunday school class earlier. How many have already made some resolutions or spiritual goals? Let me just see in your hands real quick, all right? Some of you, how many have yet to make those lists yet? You're still probably going to make a few, all right, a little bit more. Many will take a look at their finances, and some may make this year the year they get out of debt and begin saving. I think making goals for the year is admirable. In fact, I believe when you're making those New Year goals that there are some things to consider, and this is not a part of the outline. You may or may not want to write them down. You could just listen to them, I suppose. But the goals that you make, sometimes we get carried away, and we get this big, long list of goals. Cut them in half and make those goals more realistic. And when you make the goal, be specific about your goal. Instead of saying something like, well, I just want to read my Bible every day, that's a good goal, but why don't you say something like, if you take one of our booklets, that you could read the New Testament in 90 days. And saying, even breaking that up and saying, today, according to that schedule, I'm going to read by the grace of God, Matthew 1 through 4. And then tomorrow, Matthew 5 and 6. And the next day, and each day that God gives us another day of life, just be specific about that goal. Write down how you're going to do it. Don't just have a goal without a plan. have a plan and work the plan and you'll reach your goal. Write down how you're going to do it. Don't make too many resolutions. Keep your goals realistic. Consider finding a partner to help track that. Some people use a device and they'll have some kind of a monitoring system. The big thing now is, you know, letting your smartwatch tell you how many steps that you've walked around. And my daughter Jenna got a Fitbit for Christmas and she was telling me how many thousands of steps that she's taken. And that's kind of an accountability thing. But wouldn't it be great to have an accountability partner that said, hey, did you read your Bible today? Wouldn't it be great to have an accountability partner that said, hey, did you read your Bible today? That would be a good thing, by the way. Amen. Wouldn't it be great to have somebody to help you track your spiritual goal? Think of each new day then as a new beginning. While I firmly am believing in reorganizing our lives and becoming better stewards of all that God has given us, I'm questioning how many Christians take the time to consider making some notable and profitable spiritual changes in the new year. I challenged our Sunday school class to open to Galatians to chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23 and to look at the fruits of the Spirit and ask the Lord, Lord, which one of these do you want me to make a part of my life this year? Which one of these should I really concentrate and pray about? And Lord, what are you telling me that I need more of? Some people said, well, I want to pray and ask God to help me with my faith. I need to trust God more with everything that I don't see or can't be in control of. Other people said, I need to trust God and I need to be more temperate, and I'm praying that God would help me to be more in self-control, and I don't want to be out of control. And others talked about the love of God and falling in love with the Savior. All of that is awesome, but we need to be striving and aiming at something, lest we'll hit nothing every single time. I firmly believe that every church and every Christian must be aware of their need for spiritual renewal. Yet when I look at the wickedness of society and the apathy of Christianity, I'm convinced that not enough of God's people are aware of their need to be spiritually refreshed. They're just okay with the status quo, and they've left every year since maybe 3 years ago or 5 years ago, and it's been the same pattern every single year, and they don't long to be changed and renewed anymore. That burdens me as a pastor. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, then you're fully aware of what I'm talking about. There are times when the Bible just doesn't pop out anymore like it once did. It doesn't grab your attention. It doesn't pierce your heart like it used to in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. There are sermons that you now sleep through when you used to plan to be prepared for Sundays. There are some days when you feel like God just really isn't there. God's really not paying attention to you. You've prayed prayers that you're not sure ever made it out of the room that you were sitting in. There are circumstances that appear so bizarre, you begin to doubt the very character of God. I said to our church family on Wednesday night, the definition of renew by Noah Webster at 1828 Dictionary means to renovate. It means to restore to a former state after a state of decay. Now, we could very easily look at society and say, oh, yeah, we looked. I got an article by Brother Fennell this week about the California legislation, and we could look very easily, Brother Jim, and we could say, man, the moral society that we used to have is decaying and has been, and that's nothing new. We can say that, and we could get all up in arms, but I think Christianity has decayed a bit. In fact, more than a bit. And I think if you were honest, as I've tried to be honest with the Holy Spirit, we have decayed in areas where we ought not have been. Somebody help me and encourage me and say amen. The reality is we need renewal. It means to renovate. It means to rebuild. It means to repair. It means to revive. It means to make new. It means to refresh. I know that there are people in here that do some restoration work. One restores old tractors while another restores old wood. And another restores old cars. In each scenario, the process is the same. They take something old, they take something weathered, they take something decayed, they take something that is not in its former state new, and they make it new again. They renew the wood. They renew the vehicle. They renew the tractor. They renew whatever it is they're remodeling, whatever they're restoring. I wonder this morning, is your relationship with God in need of renovation? Has your relationship with God decayed at all since the day you got saved? Since the day that glory came down and filled your soul, has it gone backward at all? Because I'm telling you, as a witness of my own life, That's the living reality. And the necessity of being renewed day by day. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed." Notice what it says in God's holy word, day by day. Does your walk with God need to be restored to a former state? Perhaps your faith is in need of repair and your heart is in need of refreshing. If so, then listen carefully. And I'm so thankful that God allowed us to restart the service. If that's the case, you're in good company. Because you're not the only one. Even after Wednesday night service and last Sunday's Christmas service was so awesome. It just reconfirmed in my heart, man, God, there's more than just one or two people in this church that really want you to do a work. There's more than just a handful of us at Shadow Mountain Baptist Church that want revival. God, there's more that are seeing that our hearts are just not the way they used to be. And oh, how we want it that way again. I can think of no better day to start it than on the 1st of January. The Apostle Paul was a remarkable Christian. And looking at his life, people are in awe at how he could be beaten and how he could be whipped and stoned and starved so many times. And yet he kept going and he remained faithful to the gospel of Christ. And in this letter to a church family who was experiencing a time of refreshing, he gives us the keys to renewal. I want you to take your outline and notice with me today, first of all, the purpose of renewal. The purpose of renewal. Why is it that it's such a big deal, Pastor? And I get it. Okay, we need to be restored. And why are you being so animate about it? I'll tell you why. And it's because of what the Apostle Paul is trying to get across in this passage of Scripture. We must readily accept the fact that, like Paul, our purpose in life is to be like that of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 5 and verse 30, "I can of mine own self do nothing." Jesus saying, "As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." Listen. If you've been saved for any length of time and you have drawn back and taken your hand, not off of the plow, but you've looked back. Listen, I and you are not fit for the kingdom if that's our steps. According to Scripture, God is worthy of me not looking back. Amen. God is worthy of me making sure my hand stays firm on the plow. And Jesus said, hey, it's not about my will. It's about what I hear from the Father. And if I have drawn back at all, and I have not been faithful, and what I hear from the Father, that then is a place that I need to push the renewal button. And I need to say, God, forgive me. God, help me. I don't understand, but now I didn't understand, and now I do. It's actually me, Lord. It's me that stands in need of prayer. It's me that stands in need of revival. What's the purpose of renewal? First of all, the first purpose is others. And Paul states it plainly all through the text. He's talking about ministry. He's talking about ministering to others. Look at verse 6. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts," notice, "to give," see that? "To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You know what he's saying? My purpose, first of all, to others, is that they would be saved. Why do I need to be renewed? Because someone is going to hell that I know. Someone that I can touch needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone that I'm related to needs to see a renewed Christian. And they won't get saved if they don't see Jesus in us. Hallelujah. They just won't. Why would they want what they already have? No joy. Why would they want somebody that looks at the world and it's all turmoil and the world is crazy? Yeah, the world's crazy, but Jesus is not. Why would they want any of that? Why would they want to get saved if they don't see the peace that passes all understanding? Paul said, hey, listen, I recognize the fact that I'm going through what I'm going through, but you know what? It's worth it because I am all things to all men that I might by all means save some. It was about shining the light of the gospel in the face of others, be it Jesus Christ. It also was for the service of others. I want you to take your attention and notice as I go from verse to verse here, how many times Paul talks about this measure of serving others. Look at verse 2. "But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth," watch, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Look at verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, notice, and ourselves your servants for Christ. Look at verse 12. The Bible says, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. You kind of start getting the idea that Paul's not in this gig called Christianity for himself. He's in it for others. Look at verse 15. The Bible says, for all things are for your sakes. No one could ever look at the Apostle Paul and say, you're the most selfish individual I've ever met. They could never look at the Apostle Paul and say, you know what, Paul? You just want your name to be up in lights. You just want to go down. You're just playing the martyr. No, Paul was a servant of Jesus Christ. And his heart was not for himself. It was for others. He spent so long with this church, 18 months, longer than any other church. And this church backslid and went way away from God. And he was patient and he tried to teach him and he prayed for him and he went and visited. And then all of a sudden he writes the second letter to say, you know what? You're doing better now. You've got things right in your heart. And he says, listen, I'm like a nursemaid to you at one point in the scripture. And he tries to tell him how much he loves them. And they accepted that. Paul was not in it for himself. He was in it for others. Why do we need to be renewed? Because of others. But it's also for the gospel's sake. A mother was preparing pancakes for her son, Kevin, 5 years old, and Ryan was 3 years old. The boys began to argue over who would get the first pancake, like many boys do, right, Brother Andy? Their mother saw the opportunity for a moral lesson, and she said, and I quote, if Jesus were sitting here, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait. So Kevin turned to his younger brother and said, Ryan, you be Jesus. That's the way most of us would go. But Paul wasn't like that. Neither was our Savior. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You know what Christianity is lacking? Servants. We've become consumers instead of service-oriented. We've become what's in it for me's instead of how can I be a blessing to them? And we have lost the sense of the Holy Spirit of God. We have lost the sense that Jesus said, hey, listen, if you want to be great like most of us want to be, then you better be servant of all. You better go to the bottom if you want to get to the top. The purpose of renewal, first of all, is for others. Secondly, is for the glory of God. The Apostle Paul sums it all up in verse 15. First, he says, for all things are for your sakes. All that I'm going through, all that I'm willing to do, all that I want to lay on the line is for you. But then notice what he goes on to say, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Watch this. As Paul served, people would say, God, I'm so thankful that you brought Paul into my life. I'm so thankful for the letters that he wrote. I'm so thankful for how he served us. I'm so thankful how he kept us accountable. I'm so thankful for his investment in our life. God, to you be the glory, great things that you have done. That's what he's saying. I serve, Paul said, for God's glory, but I serve you so that when you're thankful, he gets all of it. I don't want any of it. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, the Bible admonishes us, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Why do we need renewal? Because we're not in this life anymore for the glory of God. We're in this life so people know what we dress and what we drive and where we live and how we say it and what we're doing. That's why we're living in this life. I was talking to Brother Burke last night about the salesman mentality today, especially where he works at a company in the Silicon Valley, and it just kind of stuck in my mind, Brother Burke, and what you said is they want to withhold their numbers so that they can put them in at the last minute and be the biggest bad dog on the shelf. They just want that, he said, notoriety. They want to be known as the best. They want to be known that sold the most, and that's what they're looking for. The plaque on the wall or the Lamborghini in the garage or the vacation over here, that's what their goal is, not the servant of Christ. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, don't do it for your reward, and do it for the glory of God. That's what God says. 2 Peter chapter 3 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you do that, then to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Can I just encourage you with something? Don't wait till you get to heaven to give glory to God. It says both now and forever. How are you giving glory to God? If there's some places where you think, you know, I'm probably taking some credit over here that I probably don't need to be taken. In fact, I know now that God's convicted me of it and I need to give glory to God, and you need renewal. If you're in the Christian life as a consumer rather than a servant, you need renewal. I need renewal. Is everybody here? I'm not saying here's where I am, here's where I'm saying we need renewal because God deserves the glory. Because people are dying and they're going to hell and they're going straightway, and they need to see somebody with a loving, sweet spirit who's willing to do whatever it takes. That's the purpose of renewal. God is glorified by spiritual vitality, not by religious physique or pious circumstance. He is glorified through our lives when the kingdom of God is advanced by faith. How is it advanced? The Bible says, for all the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen. Listen, unto the glory of God by us. Did you hear that? Unto the glory of God by us. That is me taking the word of God for what it is and his promises and living according to those promises, he gets glory. My faith gives God glory. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. When God is pleased with my life, he is glorified. Howard Spring said, the kingdom of God, it's not going to advance by our churches becoming filled with men. Did you hear what I said? The kingdom of God is not going to be advanced by our churches being filled with men, but by men in our churches becoming filled with God. That's where Paul was. He lived it every day. Good night. How could he go through what he did? Read the text sometime. How could a man survive all of that and still have the grace of God in his life? Unbelievable. And yet God says, hey, I just want you to know, I'm the same God that lives in you. I'm the same God that saved you. I can do the same for you. It doesn't matter what you're going through. For there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Hallelujah. The purpose for renewal. Secondly, I want you to see the process of renewal. The process of renewal. The Bible says in verse 16, for which cause we faint not. Church, let me just encourage you. If God gives you another day tomorrow, don't faint. Don't faint. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. In the library at the University of Montana, the following piece of graffiti was discovered etched in one of the cabinets, and I quote, E equals MC squared dash Albert Einstein. And right next to it, underneath, directly underneath it, was another quote, very good, Albert, but next time show your work, C plus. That's one thing that math teachers are huge on. Show your work. I don't want you to think that you guessed at the answer. I want to show your work. You know, that's what God wants out of our life. He doesn't want us just to come on a Sunday or show up on a Wednesday or have a devotional at home or sit at a table before we eat dinner or breakfast or lunch and have the right answer there. He wants us to show our work each and every day of our life. He wants to see the things that we're doing that add up to the right answers that we say on any given time, in any given day. If this generation is to be reached with the gospel of Christ, then if our children are going to have a church, are you listening? If they're going to have a church worth attending after we're all dead and gone, then we need times of renewal. And spiritual renewal doesn't just appear on a shelf at a grocery store. Man, I wish it did. I used to work at Kmart. My first job was a Kmart cart collector. Anybody remember Kmart? You might still have a Kmart next to some of your family or something. Some of them are still independently owned. They would call K15 code C, and I would go, oops. I'm the only K15, which just meant I'm a nothing. And I was to go get carts. And you know, like every Kmart parking lot, it's like the size of like 14 football fields, right? Carts way out, you know, across the street, and you got to go everywhere. You go out there and collect all the carts and bring them in. And how I would love to have a blue light special of spiritual renewal. I used to hate blue light specials. They tell me, go put the blue light special in the ladies' department. I'd be like, I want to go to the ladies' department. No, that's where you're going to go, because we're going to have a blue light special in like 5 minutes. Push it over there. turn on the light. It's amazing. It's like bugs to a light. As soon as that blue light would go off, everybody in the store, I'm going to save money on something I don't even need. Attention, Kmart shoppers, the blue light special is in sportswear. It's in, I always used to love it when they put it in the deli. Blue light special is in the deli. Hallelujah, those ham sandwiches, I'm coming right now. All of those things. You know what I'm saying? Blue light special. Wouldn't it be awesome if God gave us a blue light special and we could just go down and pick up some renewal? All of a sudden, we're like spiritual supermen and women. Wouldn't it be awesome? Guess what? It doesn't work that way. You just don't get to go to Safeway and say, excuse me, where's your spiritual renewal? They're going to go, huh? If they're at Knob Hill, maybe they'll say, oh, I think that's on back order. You can't do that. You can't buy it at a grocery store. I wish it could be delivered by drone through Amazon. Did you guys see that a couple weeks ago? The first Amazon order was placed in like 15 minutes. That's the coolest thing ever. Across the field from the guy, just walked over and picked up his package. I was like, sign me up for that. Wouldn't that be awesome? Click and check out in like 20 minutes, it's at your doorstep. That would be unbelievable. It doesn't happen that way. God, could you just drop off some spiritual renewal? How many enjoyed UPS coming to your house? It's like he's like the new Santa Claus. He no longer wears red and white. It's brown. What can brown do for you? Like Brother Morris used to say, he's constantly ding dong. We don't go, Santa's here, Santa! Run to the door, open it up. Yes, all these boxes were that. I wish God could just deliver that to us. Here's some spiritual renewal, and you don't even have to do anything for it. You just show up at church and sit through the service and let your conscience be soothed. That's renewal. No, it's not. I wish it could be done that way. Instead, it's a process. And guess what? It requires effort. You know what Christians are? We're lazy. I think I'm going to say it again. We are lazy. We are apathetic. We're indolent. We are so lazy. It's almost like we wish like the microwave would never been invented. It's taken everything out. The fact of the matter is we want it all with no effort. That sounds like society. That sounds like people you hire, Brother Moore. I want a big paycheck. I want the big office, and I want to work like 4 hours a day. And don't call me on the weekends, and don't call me in for overtime. I just want to do my bit, and you pay me a whole lot. And I want the minimum wage to be raised to like $25 an hour. That'd be okay? I want to work it. I want to split burgers at McDonald's for like 18 bucks an hour. What happened to the entry-level jobs in society? People want to go and retire at McDonald's. Now, by the way, if you work there for 20 years, I'm not saying anything against you. I'm just saying. Really? We don't want to work for anything. Let me say something about the process of renewal before I get carried away. First of all, letter A. It's a daily process, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says in verse 16, is renewed day by day. Renewed day by day. Can we say that together? Ready? Renewed day by day. Can we say it again? Renewed
day by day.
Every day, day by day. I can't borrow grace today, tomorrow. I got to get new grace. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Matthew 6:34. I have to take today for what it is, and I have to be renewed today. Each and every day, my carnal nature and the sin that dwells in me taint my perspective, and according to James chapter 1, lure me into temptation according to God's word. And it is my responsibility to do my part to stay right with God, to make sure my spiritual life has vitality. That's what Paul did. Each and every day, whether he was being stoned at Lystra or whether he was being cast into prison at Philippi, it didn't matter. That day he could handle it because he got renewed. Though my outward man perisheth, the inward man is renewed day by day. We're reading of a man's life that did it. And that means that you and I can do it. That means that that grace is still sufficient for us. Let me give you some requirements for daily renewal. I think you may have these in your notes. First of all, it requires subjective humility before God. Paul said, hey, before you read anything about my resume, I just want you to know I am what I am by the grace of God. Saw a man the other day begging for food. And I said, God, were it not for your grace, that could be me. That's the reality of life. It requires subjective humility before God every single day. Secondly, it requires a spiritual examination of your life every single day. God, I want to be renewed, and you've revealed to me even when I pillowed my head last night of how I failed you yesterday. Now, God, I want to submit to your will and your leading again today. But I want to know in my heart, is there something else that I've missed? Because chances are there are. And I want you to show me. Let every man examine himself to see if he be in the faith. Then thirdly, it requires a satisfying repentance from your heart. Now be careful how you spin that, because you and I have a tendency to spin the truth. We could say, well, it's a satisfying repentance. Well, I'm satisfied with how I repented, but is God? Is God satisfied? John the Baptist said to the vipers and snakes called Pharisees, bring therefore fruit unto repentance. And he wasn't talking about according to their satisfaction, but according to God's. Not regret, not oops, I got caught, not, oh, here's the part of the service that I'm uncomfortable in, but no, I'm going to own my responsibility and I'm going to confess it before God, I'm guilty. Owning my responsibility of the equation. God, I am repenting of this life. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Amen. Satisfying repentance from your heart. Then fourthly, a sincere seeking of the Lord. Sincere. Now look, this is a daily thing. It's not a humongous deal as far as effort, but it requires effort. It requires a daily effort. Now, as I'm sitting here, look at your faces. I'm telling you right now as I'm sitting here. Many of you are like, oh. Some of you are like, when is the service going to get over? Not for a long time. I promise. I'm not letting you go. I'm not letting you go until you get it. I don't want to let you go if you don't get it. I want to give it to you so well that you want renewal. I want God to do a work in your heart as bad as I want him to do it in my heart. It's not worth leaving here the same way. It's not worth going through another 364 days the same way. We need renewal. And we've got to come to the grips that we are either not subjectively humble before God. We have things in our life that need to be right. We have not satisfactorily answered God's conviction of sin. We need to repent of that. And we certainly haven't sought the Lord with a sincere heart. Many of us, probably 100% of us, could say, 100%, there's no doubt in my mind, everybody in this building this morning would say, I wish I'd have prayed more last year. I wish I'd have been more sincere in seeking my God. I wish I'd have been, you could fill in the blank. Every one of us could say that. So why not start today? The Bible says in Jeremiah 29 and verse 13, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. That's a promise. His ears and eyes are open to all of them that call upon him in truth. That's sincerity. But I've got to do that. God said, I'm here. Draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. But you've got to take the first step, because I've already taken the step. I went all the way to the cross. I subjected my son to being forsaken. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He did it so that I would never have to be. What he did, to search for God with all of my heart. It's a daily process. Secondly, and I've got to hurry, it's a directed process. Did you know that God directs us to be renewed every day? In fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See that renewing of your mind? He directs us to it. Remember, it's the little sleep, the little slumber. It's a little folding of the hands that brought ruin to the field of the slothful. That's what needs to be renewed. The new year provides all of us an opportunity like Solomon took to stop and consider it well and receive instruction about the vitality of our spiritual life with Christ. And I think we need to look back at 2016 and we need to observe the days and the times and the seasons and the ups and the downs and the valleys and the streams and the deserts, all of that. And we need to stop and consider it well and receive instruction and come to our conclusion. Say, God, even though last year may have been at many times a really great year, I want a better one. And I want this day to be the beginning of any other day that you may give me and bless me with. It's a directed process. The new year provides all of us with that opportunity. The indication of Romans 12 is that without daily renewing our mind, listen, without daily renewing, our mind will be conformed to the world. If I don't daily renew my mind in that book and I don't bow my head until I feel like I am transformed, I will be conformed. Why? Because I live in the flesh. According to Romans chapter 7, I'm a wretched man. And without the Lord Jesus Christ, I can't be delivered from that. If my mind is not renewed to the mind of Christ in Philippians 2, it will be conformed to the world's mind. Maybe that strikes a note with you. Because like the salesman that Brother Burke worked with, that's where your gold has been. It's been on the secular. It's been on the material. It's been on some other thing than God. It's a directed process. Thirdly, it's a decided process. It's a decided process. Paul decided on the road to Damascus when he got saved. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Mary decided after the angel said, fear not. She said, be it unto me according to thy will. Jesus decided in the garden, I've been there. He decided in the garden, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He decided. The Bible said he set his eyes like a flint on Jerusalem, on Calvary, knowing what he said. And as I've read through the Gospels already, it over and over, he says, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into wicked and sinful men, and he's going to die, and he's going to rise again the third day, over and over and over and over again. And as I'm almost finished now with Mark, and I look through there, I'm amazed at how many times all they can think about is, what's in it for us? Wait a minute, I just fed 5,000, then I just told you I was going to die and rise again from the dead, and all they can think about is, can I sit by you? Sound familiar? We get our eyes so easily off, and we forget that we've got to decide. The reason for any call for repentance and renewal is because we have neglected our daily opportunity to be renewed by God's word and his grace. We have not decided. How long halt you between two opinions? If God be God, then serve God. If Baal be God, then serve Baal. And they answered him not a word. The valley of decision was left. What they thought was with no decision, but they decided. And every morning I have to decide. I have to decide of the things I'm going to wear, of where I'm going to go. But before all that, I need to decide, am I going to follow Christ today or not? Am I going to subject myself to spiritual renewal right now before I leave this house? Because if I do not, I will certainly be conformed. Because I'm not strong enough. Not powerful enough. It's not my name that's going to subdue demons. It's Jesus' name that's going to subdue demons. I can't do all things through my name. I can only do them through Christ's name, which strengtheneth me. How am I going to do that if I don't decide? It's a daily process. It is a directed process, and it must be decided. Revival, G. Campbell Morgan said, cannot be organized, but we can set our sails to catch the wind from heaven when God chooses to blow upon his people once again. Hallelujah. The purpose of renewal. Secondly, the process of renewal. Thirdly, and I'm done, the perspective of renewal. This is the whole, if you'll forgive me, enchilada for Paul. I'm not saying that Jesus wasn't enough, and I'm not saying that others weren't enough, but the whole big picture Paul saw, and he saw things that most of us don't see. And it's because he was looking for things most of us don't look for. In fact, if you're a student of the Bible and you read Hebrews chapter 11, you'll find that toward the end of the chapter, the latter one-third of the chapter, you'll find on several occasions that the verses slipped my mind at this point, but you'll find on several occasions that there were people that actually looked for a city that was built with the hands of God. You'll read verses like they didn't receive the promises, but they believed them. Though they knew they were out there, and they didn't see the land of Canaan, but they believed that it was there. That they acted as if people were looking to something eternal rather than what was temporal right in front of them. And the Bible says that Paul had the same vision. Look at what it says in verse 17, for our light affliction. By the way, all that he went through, he said it was really not that big of a deal. Huh? Some people don't even come to church when they have an ingrown toenail, when they have a slight headache. They get a little run in the nose. Oh, yeah, I can't go. I need to watch Sunday night football. I need to sit at home and do whatever. I can't come back to church tonight because, man, you fill in the blank. It really doesn't matter. I've got macaroni and cheese that need my attention. I have to watch the show. I can't record it. I want it to be live. People make all kinds of reasons why they can't do for God. I think that we need to be renewed to say, Lord, what can I do for you? How can I be renewed? Listen to me. You'll never be renewed Sunday morning only. I'm just saying. I'm just going to throw it out there because I feel like I need to. You say, well, this could be the last sermon in your life. I hope it is. You can't be revitalized, renewed, restored, refreshed, repaired in your spiritual life coming to church one day a week, one service a week. Ask the McCrossins. Ask Steve and Lucy Benakovich. Ask Janelle Azevedo. Ask the Smiths. Ask Sandra Carter. Ask him. Ask Brother Moore why his dad's still in the ministry. He'll tell you. You cannot live a renewed life one service a week. Can't do it. Christianity is anemic because they've lost the perspective. Notice, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Watch this. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. As Christians, we're instructed by God to keep our sights and affections set on the things above. We're also admonished when we put our affections on the things of the world. In other words, we're supposed to have a biblical worldview, or better, we're supposed to maintain an eternal perspective. One writer, Brian Edwards, said, in revival, the minds of people are concentrated upon things of eternity, and there is an awareness that nothing else really matters. Nothing compared to what I'm going to have in heaven, compared to what's waiting for me. That is nothing compared to the eternal weight of glory I'm going to receive, Paul said. That's what kept him going. Paul tells us that all the physical hardship and all the distresses and all of the problems that he's experienced and seen is nothing compared to what he cannot see, though he believed it was there. Let me ask you this. How does someone renew and maintain an eternal perspective? How does somebody do that? Let me give you three ways. First of all, by looking into the eternal word of God. I don't maintain eternal perspective. I don't have an eternal perspective if I don't get into the eternal word of God. Thy word is settled in heaven forever. See, how do you know that? Look at verse 13. The Bible says, we have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Do you know what he's doing? He's quoting Psalm 116:10. He's saying, I am acting and I am saying my conversation is what it is because I believe the Bible and I'm staying in it and I'm not going to wander off. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being a forgetful, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If I understand that right, two things pop out. Number one, I'm going to forget if I don't stay in. Secondly, I'm not going to be blessed unless I do what I find. That's amazing. Why is Christianity so crippled? Why is it in such need of repair to be restored back to a former state? Because we're not looking into the eternal book. When we're not faithfully being fed day by day, we are not renewed day by day, and all of a sudden we get conformed, and our vision gets conformed, and our heart gets lured away, and our commitments go to ourselves. That's why we need renewal. The eternal perspective is kept and maintained by looking into the word of God. Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Is that what you feel about God's word when you read it? Because it should be. And let me say this very softly, because I can be guilty of the same thing. If it's not the rejoicing of your heart, it's not because the Bible's not worth rejoicing over. It's because my heart is no longer good ground. It's hard ground. It's been choked out with the thorns and the cares of this world, the parable of the sower and the seed. The birds have come and snatched it away. The Bible says, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. Looking into God's word gives me the right perspective on sin. Gives me the right perspective on this world, on problems, on security and my identity, trials and life and death. The world is full of tribulation and we forget that Jesus Christ has already overcome it. We need to be reminded of that. I've got to be reminded of how awesome God is. God, the Bible says, is great and greatly to be praised. I will bless thee, O Lord, forever. Oh my goodness. We need to be looking into the eternal word of God. Secondly, how do you gain an eternal perspective? By following the Son of God. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I want you to take Paul and Silas, and I want you to, I've chosen them. He's going to be my vessel unto the Gentiles, and I'm going to send him. They laid hands on him, and he went. And he never stopped wenting. He continued to go. Show me a Christian who's not walking with the Lord faithfully, and I'll show you a Christian whose perspective on life is in jeopardy. Because they're not following Christ. Because when you follow Jesus, he makes you a fisher of men. He leads you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You live for the will of the Father, all of which is eternal. 1 John 5:20, we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even the Son, Christ Jesus. This is the true God and eternal life. What? Knowing Christ and following him. How do I maintain an eternal perspective? By looking into the word of God. By saying, Lord, where are we going today? Who do you want me to speak to? How do you want me to speak? What do you want me to do today? Lord, I am your indentured servant. I am indebted to you. You saved me. By following the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, by being filled with the Spirit of God. You know, the funny thing about this is we know all these verses. We know this daily process. Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. What do you mean to be filled? Being filled is controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. That must be then a daily dying to self and surrendering to the Spirit's control. Any action taken outside of the Spirit's control then jeopardizes, listen, the name of Jesus Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit, or an enslaved soul to sin. Any compromise, any living outside of the Spirit's control. Robert Wood Johnson, the former chairman of Johnson & Johnson, was known to be a terror when he went to his plants to inspect them. People dreaded him coming on the premises. They dreaded his inspections. They dreaded talking with him and hearing of all the problems. On one such unannounced visit, the plant manager had a fortunate tip a half hour prior to his arrival. Very quickly, he started going about the company and trying to spruce things up, and he ordered several large rolls of paper to be taken and put on the roof of the building. He wanted to hide them out of sight because he had not put them away, didn't have time to put them away properly. When Johnson arrived, he was furious. His first very colorful words demanded to know why there were rolls of paper on the roof. And the manager was perplexed. He came in, immediately started using all kinds of colorful adjectives and saying all kinds of things, and the manager was just completely beside himself, and they didn't know that he arrived in a helicopter. He could see it before he landed. Can I just tell you, whatever may be hiding on the roof, God sees. He's already made an examination here today. He's already looked into our hearts. He's already looked at the last 365 days that he gave us, by the way, by his amazing grace. We're here and living today because he lives. And he's been so gracious and kind. He gave you today, and he knows what lieth in the dark in the past. He knows where we need renewal. Won't we give it to him? You know, one of the greatest Christmas presents you can ever give is to God, and it's yourself. Today, during the invitation, you could fill out an imaginary card that says, to Jesus, from me. Stick it on your heart. And just get right. Say, God, I need renewal. I haven't been right. I haven't been right for a while. I don't want to make any excuses. I just want to make it right now. I need to do things different. I need to do them for you. I want to have the right purpose in my life. God, I certainly want to have the right perspective, and I want to give myself every day to the process of being renewed. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Let's pray this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you're here today and you'd like to take full advantage of the invitation and say, Pastor, before we even get started, I need to be saved. I'm not waiting even for you to ask. I just want to ask you, will you please pray for me? I need help. I need to be saved. I want to start the new year as Christ's child. Would you please pray for me? If that's you, would you just slip up your hand real quick? Anybody like that? I need to be saved. I need to be saved. Here's my hand, Pastor.